Before we get started with the podcast, I just want to take a quick minute to say thank you to all the folks who have stepped in on our Patreon page. It's been really fun to see the support on there, and it's a tremendous help in helping us do what we do each month, and we just really appreciate everything everybody's done. Part of that is that we want to read those names that have been out there helping us, and we're going to run through it. So Dan Bledsoe, Trevor Henry, James Neal, Jim Daly, Dan Heikert, Jamie Shim, Ashley Ballard, John Batts, Lisa King, Nancy Weber, Kelly Johnston, Tara Kurtz, Milo Oakland, Andy Jones, Brian Carew, Nancy Ingram, Joyce Rakes. We really appreciate everything you guys are doing for us. And if you want to become a part of this awesome sort of support system that we've got, check it out, patreon.com/scrimmageplay. It's a fun video to watch, and please just join in and become a part of what we're doing. So thank you again, and on to the podcast. This is Bart Isley. I'm here with Ryan Yeaman for the latest edition of the Scrimmage Play podcast, and we're ready to talk state semifinal week. We're in the final four of VHSL soccer, VHSL boys tennis, VHSL girls lacrosse. Ton of different sports going this week, and let's just get it. Let's get it started and kind of dive right into it. We got a bunch of teams advance, and let's start with the baseball squads that got in. We talked all year about what a great baseball year this was, and these were two teams that didn't come up nearly as much, and now they're both sitting here in the single A, the double A final four.
Yeah, and this is when you look at it. In the last 3 years, these teams have made it twice each to the state final four, Goochland and Madison, and they squared off in the region championship game with Goochland taking that one. Goochland was in this position last year, so I don't think it's a huge shock for them.
Yeah.
Their schedule's really funky. They do a nice job of playing some of the bigger private schools in years past and stuff to try and get more competition, because they've really just been chewing up and spitting out the James River. They've been the class of that district for quite some time. And so to see them jump into conference play and region play and not miss a beat, that's really big, I feel like, confidence-wise for this group. And, these two teams sort of have the benefit of their classification. Sometimes they're playing Division III teams, Division IV teams. Now you're playing the schools that are like-sized.
Yeah.
So I feel like they've done a good job of sort of making the most of that. And with Goochland, you've got Tyler Gentry, John King, Tanner Bradshaw. These guys all played last year, significant minutes for them. So I feel like the second go around for them, you would think it's just feels a little bit easier.
Yeah, and on the flip side of that, Goochland ended I think it was an 11-year drought where they hadn't won a region title. They went
2006,
in
2006. Yeah,
last time they did it, they won a state title, so maybe they're in position to do it again. On the flip side, though, Madison County, man, something happens when these guys flip to the postseason and they become. I mean, they go. I don't know if it is like you said, like maybe they're taking their lumps against some 3A teams, or you they're playing Central.
Well, you get to play Monroe, which is,
top notch
like that. Yeah, playing the Warren Counties and Nottoways and all these guys. Those are big Division III schools. So, yeah, Madison County sort of gets a benefit. Like, I think their conference tournament is much easier than their district.
Yeah, I mean, they're, 12-12 or something now? I mean, like, they're a 500 team, and so your expectations maybe aren't as high. But, man, David Laundrie out there coaching them, and just with the group of guys that he's got.
He's done this twice now.
Yeah, he's these miracle sort of runs, and they're back in the state final four. Pretty exciting, and they did it in crazy fashion against Randolph Henry. Game ended in a dog pile, with a Chris Smith walk off. So it's always fun to watch. Madison County's community is particularly excited about high school athletics,
and it's the same guy sort of stirring the drink over at Madison.
Yeah,
basketball season, football season.
Chris Smith's the quarterback. Yeah. Now he's getting walk off hits.
Yeah,
Isaiah Smith does everything at Madison County. He does. What's the old cliche? He does everything but drive the bus. And that's Isaiah. He's been really, really good.
And they've got a lot of innings out of Eli Estes. That's been huge for them. So I think for Madison getting here is, I mean, that's a huge boost of confidence for this program. Now you just got to show up and play. I think that game Friday, you just never know what can happen. And you're down to four teams; they're all going to be even, so you can hang with them. You just got to get it done.
No question about it. So it's going to be a lot of fun. Gutzlund's going to be on the other side. They could potentially meet for a state final in a rematch of the region final, but. The crazy thing, too, about that 2A tournament is there's always a couple of those Southwest Virginia teams that come out of the 2A West that are really, really good squads. And so, like you said, it's going to be really good baseball with those teams locking up down at Radford.
Yeah, the scouting report's going to be interesting because, I mean, in years past, there was no way of knowing anything about these teams. And since they've gone to the pitch tracking record, now everybody has everybody else's book. You have access to it. So I feel like you can prep up a little bit more. You know, maybe some more situational stuff in this baseball tournament that sometimes it was just these teams coming out of the hills from nowhere and you have no idea who anybody is and you just got to sort of feel it out.
So, very exciting for those two to be in it. And then you look over at softball, the two teams we have advancing, exact same schools. Gutzlund softball and Madison softball are through. And advanced, and they'll be on the opposite side of the bracket. You got to see the region final between these two.
Yeah, that was just sort of 12 innings of crazy defense. I think both teams sort of left some runs on the board with mistakes or, you know, let some in with mistakes. I don't think either team was too satisfied with the way they played. But Madison, they played 24 innings in two games between their semifinal and this region game. And the fact that they have two pitchers that they can lean on evenly, I think that sort of won the day for them, sort of won the week for them, having Logan Estes and then Emily Seal.
What's sort of the difference between those two?
Nothing. They're the same pitch. When you talk with Jesse Yao, he says, I mean, in years past when they had Megan Shiflett, you have like a true junk baller, and then you go to Estes, who's just throwing heat. With Seal and Estes, they're both gassing it. So it's kind of a convenience, although it's just from a change of pace thing, maybe it's not that all that different to the batter's eye. But you got to catch up to their stuff. So, I mean, they're both uniquely talented. They're both young. They got a lot of softball ahead of them. Estes is a sophomore and Seal's just a freshman.
And I think what's interesting about them is that they also have a lot of softball behind them. These kids come in really experienced through the programs up there, the recreation and travel ball programs. It's not a surprise to see another Seal in the circle for Madison softball.
No, and they have a lot of senior leadership behind them. Carrington Frazier is a huge piece for them. She means everything to that defense. So that's a team with a lot of experience and a lot of young kids. We're going to see Madison softball for a while, especially when you got two pitchers as good as these. And turns out they can both hit pretty hard too. So, I like what Madison's got. Kara Price gives them a lot of power. You never know what she can do with the ball. She's a good lefty and sort of does a lot of different things. You can hit it almost anywhere. But for Gutzlund, it's Kaylin Spencer for them. This girl can pitch. I mean, she threw all 12 innings. She's done it all season for them. You look at a lot of lopsided scores, a lot of shutouts for them. So they just need to put some offense behind her. Mackenzie Reams with a nice home run in that game for Gutzlund. They need more from her, keep that sort of rolling. I think she's hitting in the three spot there for them. So, if they can just get base runners and sort of, give Spencer something to work with, I think they'll be quite all right. You could easily see a rematch between these two, like we were talking about with the baseball matchup. I would not be surprised if both these teams beat Lebanon and Richlands and then met each other in the state championship game.
So you shift gears from 2A softball and baseball, then you kind of move up and you're looking at it's 4A technically in lacrosse. But a 3A school in Monticello and a deep run from a Monticello team that didn't win a conference championship, didn't win a region championship, but here they are, still alive, state final four. It really gives you an idea of, I think a lot of people argue all the time about, everybody's in, but Monticello is the kind of team, everybody's in since realignment, but Monticello is the kind of team that shows you that, like, hey, it's not really necessarily fair when, like, maybe two of the best teams in the state are stuck right there in the conference and in the region with each other.
Yeah, Salem, Western, and Monticello sort of all beating up on each other. And
yeah.
We've seen it. I mean, that's sort of the history of Conference 29 and just kind of all the other sports outside of the area. And it happens again with lacrosse where it seems like Monticello, Fluvanna, Western, all these guys, like, you feel like you're going to see these guys 2 weeks down the road.
Sure.
So Monticello with seeing Salem in the region championship, I don't think that's a huge shock. Maybe it was going to be Monticello Western. Maybe it was going to be Salem Western.
Yeah.
It could have worked out anyway, but good for them. I mean, Trent Holden has done a great job in that program.
Yeah. Yeah.
Former stab lacrosse player, and she played under one of the best, sort of maybe the most legendary coach in our area. Yeah,
all the wins
and Mary Blake. Yeah, she has them all. But yeah, it's senior leadership from them again. Paige McLaughlin is huge for them. They got Josie Mallory, Carly Harrison, Nett, Ari Archer. I mean, they've got a lot of depth. This is a team. I think talking with Holden, the only thing that ever holds them back is draw controls. They have depth everywhere over the field.
Yeah, McLaughlin is she's so dynamic. Really can do so many different things. It's similar in a lot of ways to Joe Robertson over on the boys' side at Stab, where she's very, very good on ground ball. She can, if they need her to be a table setter, she can do that. If they need her to pour in goals, they can do that. She's a versatile, really efficient player. Eventually going to play at Arizona State. She's just really, really dynamic. She changes everything that the opposition has to do because she's so fast. The way she kind of takes it off wall, she's just a lot of fun to watch. And it's fun to see this sort of group that's built around her. And then you've got good defenders. You get Sydney Benser back there, Carly Harrison, goal. I mean, it's a pretty tremendous little group that they've put together. And again, they are just very persistent. To keep going when you lose a conference championship and then you lose a region championship, and that team just keeps trucking along, and it's a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, they were really impressive. We went down there on Tuesday in Solomon, and it's just, it's nice to see a program like that that's really sort of been pushing for this. Because 2 years ago, it seemed like Monticello had a state title just put on a bow for them.
Yeah.
And then they fall to Salem in a game that they had to win, and that was sort of like a real devastating loss. Almost feel like you get a hangover from it for the next year, and then they've come back this year and punched through, got to the Final Four, first time in program history. That's huge for these seniors.
Yeah, it's really exciting to watch. So then you move over to soccer, and we've got a couple of soccer teams in the mix here. You got the Western girls team that has been the expectations were high. Going into the year, I think a lot of people felt like that they had a really good shot at a state title coming out of the gate. Now they're in a position, they're only two wins away from being able to pull it off. And they really got, I don't know if I call it a monkey off their back, but
yeah,
it's a monkey off their back when it comes to Blacksburg. That's been a team that's really been, sort of problematic for them.
Every year, that's who they've sort of lined up with. 2 years ago, that's who they faced in the state final. And sort of this expectation that these guys are going to play each other a lot over the next couple of years, and sure enough, they do. And then Western coming up big. I mean, I feel like for this group, because this group was they were sophomores when they played Blacksburg in that state final. This is sort of like that crowning moment. You feel like you've really finally conquered your demon.
Three to one, they beat them, and they did that without their most dynamic threat, Abby Zimmerman, who is. She's just been a great finisher for them all year. Didn't have her because of a red card in the game prior, but they still take care of business 3-1. They move some pieces around and make it work.
So. Yeah, and then you look what they did this week, period. I mean, that's a lot of goals for one soccer team. I mean, they just came out and rumbled through in that region. Hands down, the best team out of that. So I feel like they've got a great chance going forward. With that much experience, why wouldn't they?
They're in a good spot. And the thing is that, in these two games, there's no question that they're going to get challenged. The defense is going to get challenged. But they have Shannon Moore. They have Nicole Heon. They have great options back there. And the midfield does a tremendous job of not even letting it get to the defense, really. And the way that group sort of pushes up, Shannon Moore had the game-winning goal against Blacksburg with a header off a the Cameron Husek corner. I mean, so they're just – that is a huge group of really versatile, tough players. And so it's going to be fun to see how they kind of handle this moment and get excited about it. And now I know that leading into soccer, I said two teams. I really meant three teams, no question about it, because we've got two other ones, Almar Girls Soccer, Charlottesville Boys Soccer. Let's start with the Almar Girls. This is another team that – you look at Western. We just talked about how good Western is. They took it to Western a couple of different times this year. So how good really is this Almar girls soccer team?
Yeah, I mean, is it? I think it's better than last year, and they're missing one of their, you know, best players from last year in Ridenour. So the way that this group has come along, it is watching what they did when they're missing Fizzing Gonzalez, sort of a just and a half, and then the middle of the field just belonged to them. It seemed like there was a brick wall up there, and they just spent an entire 40 minutes peppering shots at Jeb Stuart in that region semifinal. And I mean, it's just, there's so many weapons all over, and you've got somebody who can sort of pull the strings in Brooke Baumann. It seems almost unfair to have this many tools that they do.
Yeah, I mean, come on. Like, if Fizzy Gonzalez is out, like, that is a huge loss for any team. It was a huge loss for Albemarle. But they walked Katie Schnell in there.
Yeah.
I mean, that's an embarrassment of depth that goes on, you know, with that Albemarle team. And they're just loaded with a lot of different players who can play a lot of different roles. I mean Iden's moving all over the field for them. She's played every different spot from defense all the way forward.
Madison Kersey, McKenna Winterton, they've got...
Man, Madison Kersey, super underrated defender. She is a tremendous player.
Yeah, and a really smart player, too. So, I mean, they have it at all the different stages. And Ayanna Tyler Cooper and Ned is as good as we've got in the area. So, I mean, they brought everything back. They're back in the dance, and I feel like they're really hungry. Beating Mountain View in the region championship, that's no joke.
After going down 2-0 in, like, the first 10 minutes of the game, that's absolutely crazy.
And that's a team that they've seen before. You know, they play them usually early in the year, so... That's big for them, and they're just riding this wave of momentum now. And I mean, I don't know if you're going to call them the favorites in a tournament when, you know, everyone could be so even, but there's definitely, it feels like there's a vibe about this Albemarle team. Like, they're coming to close this thing out.
You could really see, as soon as the playoffs started, the energy on the sideline really changed for them. I mean, they had slogged through that district stuff, and they had gotten through it. But you could just see everything, so the intensity. They really understood how to take it up a notch when it came to the playoffs. And that's something they've learned over a long period of time. I mean, that's a team that, a program that got knocked out and knocked out and knocked out for years, even when Amy Sherrill was the assistant coach over there. And now they have an understanding of what kind of intensity the playoffs take. And like you said, Tyler Cooper, she's part of it. I mean, she gives them that energy back there in the back.
Yeah, and then for the team as a whole, I mean, this group has been together so long. It's sort of like what we were talking about with Madison baseball, that like it's just the same kids over and over again. And they all know each other really well. They have great chemistry. And so they can sort of communicate on a different level and just go out there and compete and get the job done day in, day out. It's really impressive.
So we feel awfully good about two teams that won region titles in Western girls soccer and Albemarle girls soccer. But I also feel pretty darn good about Charlottesville boys soccer right now. They were unbeaten going into the region final against Kettle Run. They take the loss that was, tough, absolutely tough. And you know, in a lot of ways, they controlled a lot of the pieces of the game, but just didn't come out on the other side on the goals. I think this could be... This is a team that plays better when it's got a little bit of a chip on its shoulder. They looked really good against Albemarle and Western. That was their highest energy games of the year. And so now they've got that chip. They don't have to manufacture it. It's sitting there. It's going to be exciting to see what Charlottesville boys do.
Yeah, and I think a lot of the story for them this year is getting out of the shadow of Albemarle and Western and sort of stepping into the spotlight for them. And they've got, you know, this group that won a lot of games last year, and maybe they feel like, you know what, this is supposed to be our year. But they've been, I know they talk about it, they've been building to this for quite some time. They knew that this was going to be a good year for them. And it's they've got the pieces again. All these teams, if you're in the Final Four, you have the pieces. But Alex Pfister is really impressive. Evan Blow is really impressive. Those guys.
Evan Blow's got that clutch gene, man. Yep. He keeps coming up with big goal after big goal after big goal for them.
And he does a lot of setup work for them, too. And then B.B. Osman is sort of an electric soccer player. He just flies around the field. Yahya Muhammad. This team has some real scoring threats on different parts of the field that it allows you to sort of shake things up a little bit.
Yeah, and they've got enough defense to get it done, too. Those guys haven't gotten a lot of attention because they've been blowing people out. But the defense for them is good. They have two goalies. They can kind of rotate. And they only gave up both goals against Kettle Run were sort of fluky, reboundy type goals. I mean, they didn't get, like, you know, just blown out, you know, blown away on those goals. They just kind of happened in sort of unsettled situations around the net. So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, what they're able to do, how they're able to regroup, and they get a whole week to kind of think about it. And maybe that's, a lot of coaches say, like, I'd rather play right away, but maybe that's a good thing. You know, they get a chance to kind of forget about it, get it out of the system, but they want to leave it there. They want to remember a little bit of it. They don't want to be in that situation again. And they hadn't been all year up until that point.
Yeah, and a lot of these kids are going to college to play soccer. They know what time it is. You got two chances here to one chance first if you can do that. But you have two games to win if you want to win this thing. And I think, like you said, losing that game, maybe it's not the worst thing that happens to you because it fires you up. And Charlottesville, they play with a lot of emotion, and that's usually when they play well.
Yeah.
So I think you're absolutely right heading into this tournament. They're sort of a team to really watch out of this group. How they respond. I think you'll find out in the first half.
Oh, yeah. No question about it. And so then that leaves one last team playing for a state tournament. They were actually supposed to start today, the Western Boys Tennis team, but they got rained out. So now they get they come back on Tuesday and they'll try and do it. This is the Region 3A West champions. Really exciting little run for this Western Boys Tennis squad. This is a program that's had a ton of success. I think five state titles in a row. It's at one point. So they're back. They've really kind of built it back. And Daniel Thomas is a big piece of that puzzle. He's also qualified for the 3A singles. So he's going to get a chance to play for. Actually, three state titles because he's also qualified as a doubles partner with the number two for the Warriors, Alex Hicks. So, really exciting, year for that squad.
Yeah. You have a solid number one and two like that. That gives you a chance to, in pretty much any match you play, start with 3-0 lead.
Yeah. You hope so. You hope so, sir.
And if you don't, then you're really leaning on the back end. And every one of these state tournaments, we've always seen it comes down to the five and six players. You're only as good as what those guys bring to the table. Same thing. Those guys give you an opportunity to take a 3-0 lead when they pair up in doubles. But these tennis tournaments, it's just about, they're long, grueling days. Depending on the weather, you just never know. We've seen some of these tournaments where out in Blacksburg, it's 95 degrees outside and you're just cooking. Yeah. And then we've seen, other ones in Lynchburg where it's kind of a rainy day and you're dealing with the elements. So there's a lot that sort of goes on in a two-day stretch there.
Tennis is a tough one. It's a difficult sport to win a state title in, no question about it. I mean, you've got to have six pretty darn good players to get it done. You've got to have depth because one player can't just take over. One player can have a great tournament and you still, get, knocked out 5-1. We've seen it happen.
I feel like the dynamics for this is very similar to cross country or golf, where it's a... On paper, it's a team game, when you add up all the scores, but you're talking about trying to put together six different individuals and then, three doubles teams, pairing them up and getting the right mix. And you just never know how different one athlete's going to be from on the other, do you have your fastball today kind of thing. So we'll see with Western. I mean, it wouldn't be unprecedented. They've done this many a time. It would not be a surprise for them to go there and finish the job there.
So that's a grand total of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, like six state titles that Central Virginia could bring home this week. We've kind of broken down each of those squads, and congratulations to all of them just for making it to this level. It's very difficult. Some really good teams are at home this week, and they're not. So congratulations to them, and really appreciate you listening. And we'll be back, probably be back next week to talk about the squads that do get through and pull it off and pick up wins. So again, congratulations to those squads, and thanks for listening.